When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now they were staying in Jerusalem, God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment, because each one of them heard speaking in their own language. Utterly amazed, they asked, "Are not these all men who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them in his own native language? Parthians, Medes, and Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs. We hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues." Amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, "What does this mean?" Some, however, made fun of them and said, "They have had too much wine." Then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice and addressed the crowd, "Fellow Jews and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These men are not drunk, as you suppose. It's only 9 in the morning. No, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all the people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions, and your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. I will show wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will turn to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord, and everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Men of Israel, listen to this. Jesus of Nazareth was a man accredited by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs, which he did among you through him, and as you yourselves know. This man was handed over to you by God's set purpose and foreknowledge, and you, with the help of wicked men, put him to death by nailing him on the cross. But God raised him from the dead, freeing him from the agony of death, because it was impossible for death to keep its hold on him. David said this about him, "I saw the Lord always before me. Because he is my right hand, I will not be shaken. Therefore, my heart is glad and my tongue rejoices. My body will also live in hope, because you will not abandon me to the grave, nor will you let your Holy One see decay. You have made known to me the paths of life, and you will fill me with joy in your presence. Brothers, I can tell you confidently that the patriarch David died and was buried, and his tomb is here to this day. But he was a prophet and knew that God had promised him on oath that he would place one of his descendants on the throne. Seeing what was ahead, he spoke of the resurrection of the Christ, that he was not abandoned to the grave, nor did his body see decay. God has raised this Jesus to life, and we are all witness to this fact. Exalted to the right hand of God, he has received from the Father the promised Holy Spirit, and has poured out what you now see and hear. For David did not descend to heaven, and yet he said, 'The Lord said to my Lord, Sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet. Therefore, let all Israel be assured of this. God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. When the people heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the other apostles, Brothers, what shall we do? Peter replied, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus the Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children, and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call. With many other words he warned them, and he pleaded with them, Save yourselves from this corrupt generation. Those who accepted this message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Good morning. And praise the Lord. Amen. This is Pentecost, and I would like to greet you in some of the languages. Bwana asifiwe. Paul, you should be able to respond. That is Kiswahili. Asifiwe sana. Amen. Mukama yebaziwe. Tukutendereza Yesu. Amen. Okay, praise be to God. Thank you, Paul, for introducing me and very warmly allowing me to be part of this worship service this morning. Sorry. Okay, now I can move. Good. Let's pray. Holy Spirit, may the words of my mouth inspire a real desire for mission among your people. Speak to me as I speak. In Jesus' name, amen. Today is Pentecost Sunday, and to me, it makes more sense to speak about Pentecost after speaking about Babel, the Tower of Babel. And then I'll connect the Tower of Babel, Pentecost, and mission. And that's why the sermon today is Tower of Babel, Pentecost, and mission. In Genesis chapter 9, verse 1, after surviving the flood, God blessed Noah's family to be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. God's mission is to fill the earth with his truth and testimony. However, in Genesis chapter 11, these people who were speaking one language attempted to change this commission and said to one another, Come, let us make bricks and make them and bake them thoroughly. Come, let us build ourselves a city and a tower whose top is in the heavens. Let us make a name for ourselves, lest we be scattered abroad over the face of the whole earth. That's in Genesis chapter 11, verses 3 and 4. And this represents one pride. We want to build a city and we will be great. It represents disobedience to the commission. And the fear is we should not be scattered. We should remain together. I think language is good. It's powerful. It brings people together. It makes them one community. And so naturally they felt they didn't need to go anywhere. But God had spoken and said, go, multiply, fill the earth. Go to every corner of the earth. That was God's mission. Go to every corner. But even with disobedience, God, who commissioned them to multiply and fill the whole earth, came down. He confused them. He changed their languages. And so, they scattered. And they went to the whole parts of the earth. It doesn't matter. If you don't catch up with God, God will catch up with you. And his mission will be done. And so he scattered them. Until we come to Matthew chapter 28, verse 18 and 19. After the death and resurrection of Christ, is recorded Jesus' commission to his disciples. And this is what he said. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to observe all things I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. I call this co-mission, co-mission. It's mission with God. It's not your own mission. It's a mission that you go with Christ. Christ says, I will be with you. I'll go with you, even to the end of age. You're not going alone. You're going with Christ. Probably the disciples were wondering how to fulfill this commission. They didn't have the language to speak. These are guys in Jerusalem. They knew, I think, Hebrew, maybe Aramaic, and probably some Greek. But the languages of the earth were quite many. And I think this was a tough task. Secondly, these disciples were fearful of getting out and even being identified with Christ, who was crucified about 50 days ago. And so they were still kind of gathering themselves together and trying to encourage one another. Some of them, yeah, were thinking about their former professional work. And so they were fearful and, you know, together. But anyway, they came around this Pentecost festival. So they may have been wondering. To this wonder, it was impossible to do this because of the confusion that had happened at Babel. And the Lord had commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father. And the promise is, you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit. That's in Acts chapter 1, verse 4 and 5. Jesus' Father tells them, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. That was the promise. When the Holy Spirit comes, that's what you will definitely do. You will receive power. And I think they were powerless. Jesus says, you will receive power. They were in fear. And fear is so powerful that it makes you powerless. And he said, when the Holy Spirit comes, you will have power. With power, you will have courage. You will witness right here and to the next village and the next town and the next and to the ends of the earth. Now comes this day. the Pentecost Sunday, where we read, and thank you for the good reading, Acts chapter 2, verse 1 to 49. When people of all languages from the ends of the earth were gathered for the Pentecost festival, the festival of first fruits to the Lord, that comes exactly 50 days after the Hebrew Passover. It was 50 days after Jesus' resurrection. The Holy Spirit enabled the disciples to speak the tongues of the earth. That came as a result of the confusion at the Tower of Babel. God makes things right at his time. This brought a new era of worldwide global mission. Just this one day, people who have never been to Phrygia, they've never been to Libya, they've never been to Cyrene, and they spoke all these languages, including Arabic. I think my language was also there, Kupsabin. My language must have been spoken that day. I don't know whether English was spoken that day. But I think it was spoken that very day. English was part of the language that colored the day. And what were they saying? They were talking about the great things that God has done. And no wonder. Peter took to the podium and preached his first ever sermon. And having preached this sermon, one sermon, 3,000 were added to their number. Calvin, you said you were nurtured in this church. How many sermons did you hear before you came to Christ? Many sermons. Maybe 3,000 sermons to convert one person. When the Holy Spirit came, one sermon converted 3,000. Maybe some people in England may need about 3,000 sermons to have one soul won to Christ. But when the Holy Spirit comes, one sermon makes 3,000 followers. Do you know what? The number kept adding and even multiplying. And profusely multiplying. When the disciples became too comfortable in their comfort zone, persecution would come. Another Tower of Babel would happen, and they would scatter. The fruit of Pentecost, which is the gospel, has spread since then. Since that Pentecost day, from a little room in Jerusalem, where the 120 were gathered about 2,000 years ago, my village in the ends of the earth, somewhere in the landlocked heartlands of Africa, was not spared by this transforming gospel. My own village. And that's where it caught me. You will not find it on the map, that village, but the Holy Spirit found it and found me. And to get there, it has been the work of faithful and obedient men and women who did not consider settling in Babel. But they went across dangerous seas. They went to meet hostile people. They crossed lands that were invested and invaded with wild and fierce animals. They went through killer diseases in the tropics of Africa. They went to places where there were unique languages. And actually, in Uganda, the first Bible was translated, not by Baganda, but translated by the British. They came and learned the language so well that they translated the Bible into the Uganda. That's the power of Pentecost, power of the Holy Spirit. We also recognize men and women who knew they would not cross those dangerous seas, but they supported those who crossed. They provided resources. They sacrificed personal resources. They saved the little money they had. And instead of building themselves towers, they provided for the gospel. Thank you. And I recognize that this church has been part of that partnership in mission. And I'm told you have a place in Busoga, in a place called Bubadengo. And you are present doing mission there. Thank you. Now let me show you a few pictures and some stories of what is happening in Africa with the support of CMS, Church Mission Society. Now, what you see there is the office block for CMS Africa, which was built together with some investors. The office for CMS Africa is on the 12th floor, almost at the top. And that's where we sit currently. And it's a tower to view around Africa and to the rest of the world. The work that we do transforms young people, youth. The picture you see are youth in Burundi. These young people in Burundi were mobilized by one Reverend Salvatore. He does what we call the 3D. 3D means the three Ds. One is discover, develop, and deploy. Now, these young people are transforming their lives and transforming the church. They are involved in church construct. Currently, they are worshiping in a classroom. And they are building a church. So the picture on the right is the picture of the church that they are building. These youth bake bricks and carry them for construction. Now, these young people are also transforming their lives. The picture to the left shows Reverend Salvatore and a young lady called Emima, who had dropped out of school. But when she went through the 3D, trained by Reverend Salvatore, she has been able to go back to university. She started a business. She makes sanitary towels and sells them, and she raises money for her education at the university. When she's on holidays, you can see she rides bicycles, and she mobilizes the youth and does several social activities just to keep them going. In this church, Reverend Salvatore has mobilized 300 youth. And these youth are not only doing that, they are doing business. They are in the marketplace. There we can see Diana selling clothes, and we can see Ishere selling tomatoes in the market. They make a living for their households, and they give to the church. Next is, I call it fish and mission. Mercy in Kisumu is a single mother, and she has been working with some widows. And in Kisumu, to be a widow is to have your life tied to the grave. And so it's very disempowering. We met them through one of our champions of CMS Africa, and she suggested if they could do one of the trainings that we do called Women Empowerment Training, and we did that. Mercy, together with her group, does business, and Mercy does fish business. And in a week, Mercy is able to earn my salary. In 1 week, my monthly salary, she earns in 1 week. And then she provides for mission in her church. She is such a strong woman in the church. And she told me she is now a better believer of Christ. Here is, I call it from sewage water to Milele water. This is in a slum in Nairobi called Soweto. Luke was a pastor. He came to one of the meetings where Reverend Dennis Tongoi was talking and teaching about the Samaritan strategy. He was coming actually to see his bishop. But when he heard the message, the bishop said, first wait until this session is over. So it was an opportunity for Luke to get some hints about holistic mission. And for the few minutes he was there, he said, this is what I was looking for. He went and resigned his IT job. He was working with government, and he decided to start a project in the slums, beginning with 3 children who were disturbing their mothers who were selling fish remains in the afternoons. And he said, bring them to me. I'll be playing with these children, probably teaching them a few words. And then eventually the number of children grew and they were hungry. Pastor Luke would carry porridge, corn porridge from his house to this gathering, and he would give them. So when the numbers grew, he needed to prepare the food from there, and he didn't have the food. So he tried to find the food and asked the children to be bringing water so that they would use that water to cook their food. Now, some of these children, this community didn't have water except sewage water flowing in open channels. So one of the children one day came with sewage water. And before it was poured into the porridge, somebody realized it was smelling badly. And when she checked, it was sewage water. She poured away, because there was no option. This community, Luke became faithful to the call, and some people supported him to sink a borehole in that community, and they got clean water. Now, instead of children bringing water to the center, they were taking clean water back to their homes. The story had reversed. Jesus had become the life-giving water. And so today, Pastor Luke purifies that water and packs it in bottles and calls it Milele water. Milele is everlasting, eternal water. And so Pastor Luke began from a small area, as big as this where I am standing. And now he has expanded. He has 3 schools in that place. He has a kindergarten, a primary school, and a secondary school. And he has also put there House of Babel, House of Bread. He has put a restaurant. And it's such a story of transformation. And that's the work that happened on Pentecost Day. Asante ni sana. Let's pray. Lord, may the Holy Spirit fire our hearts again for local and global mission. May this day be another day to start a new journey with the power of the Holy Spirit. If there have been any fears, wipe them away. If there have been any comfort zones that we've been, Lord, I pray that you lift us again, that we will venture into your work, not only around us, but even far away. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Amen.